Our study tonight closes out the epistle of 1 John. It's 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. True spirituality's greatly edifying assurances. As he closed his epistle, the Apostle John provided edifying spiritual assurances that equipped the believer to live in great peace and confidence amidst a host of a lost, troubled world that's dominated by Satan. We view the assurances in 1 John 5, 18 to 21 for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 John 5, beginning at verse 18 and going to the end of the epistle. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one does not touch him. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one, literally. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Okay. Very interesting passage. Very important one. We believers are assured of several things. We are assured that we can live holy lives regardless of the world's depravity around us. You'll notice in verse 18, John starts off and he says, we know. He does it in verse 19, and we know. In verse 20, and we know. And these emphasize assurances that we have. Well, 1 John 5:18 begins with a statement we know to convey the sense of an assured awareness that the truth of assurance from God is that whosoever has been permanently spiritually born. Once again, you have a perfect passive participle, gegenimenos, and of God. And this implies salvation is wholly the work of God because it's the passive voice. And it results in unconditional salvation security. It's a perfect tense, once for all, having been, does not sin. So like the Greek text in the Greek language brings out the idea of eternal security over and over and over, again and again and again. It's very sure. Since 1 John 1, 8 to 10 already taught that every believer has a sin nature and has sinned since salvation, that about which John writes here in 1 John 5, 18 is the new nature in the believer that has been permanently born of God. That new nature is unyielding to sin. We mentioned this in the adult Sunday school class this morning, in the class that we had upstairs. When God takes us to heaven, what he takes to heaven is that new nature along with us. We don't have that sin nature that he takes with us. And that new nature is absolutely impervious to sin. When you sin, you don't sin by the new nature. You sin by the old nature. The old sin nature kicks in and we sin by the old sin nature. So that's a wonderful truth, to know that that new nature is absolutely unyielding to sin. God created it apart from sin, and he created it to have a capacity to avoid sin. So the believer in Christ has the capacity provided by God to live totally separate from the sin of the world around him, regardless of the depth of the world's depravity. Now, we mentioned this earlier, and I'll just slip back to that. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John wrote, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. That's kind of a shocking verse. I remember we had a schoolmaster here when we had Nepal Christian Academy years ago, and I mentioned that the Bible says that we can avoid sinning. He says, no, right. And I pointed this out. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And I said, John would never say that unless it's possible for you not to sin. And the schoolmaster said, well, I guess you're right. It's right there. It's in the Bible. But it's a wonderful truth. We don't have to sin. Okay. 1 John then 5:18c adds that this new nature, being unyielding to sin, is thus also unyielding to the evil one, to Satan. Now, the one who is begotten, genethes, that's a passive tense, of God is not a Christ in this verse, for John nowhere else refers to Christ in this verb that means to sire or to give birth to a party. But John rather referred to the new nature that God creates in the believer at regeneration, the new nature cannot even be touched by Satan, meaning the new nature itself is unyielding to demonic possession and satanic control. There has been a big division in Christian circles over the years as to whether or not a Christian can be demon-possessed. And a Christian can't be demon-possessed because Satan cannot even touch the new nature that is in the believer. And also the believer is indwelt by and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it would be impossible for Satan to control or for a demon to control and indwell a believer where the Holy Spirit is sealing him. I don't believe that's possible at all. Now, Satan can influence a believer from the outside when the believer chooses by his sin nature to sin against the Lord, and Satan therefore can lure him over here and tempt him so that he'll go in the direction that Satan wants him to go. But that's different from Satan actually getting in there and pushing his buttons and controlling him and making him go wherever Satan wants him to go. So this is a wonderful new truth. Now, accordingly, the believer by a life of faith that boycotts the old sin nature will live above even Satan's influence on him, all due to the spiritual provision that God has given the believer at his salvation or at regeneration. And then, verse 19, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The word lieth actually means is lying in. It's a word that is often used of a mother who holds her baby and the baby is lying in the arms of her mother, of his mother. And the picture here is Satan is coddling the world. Satan is manipulating and controlling the world. This is why people in the world buy into some of the most ludicrous ideas possible, like this global warming issue. We know from Scripture that God says as long as it lasts, you know, the earth is going to have harvest and crops. It's not going to burn up. But you've got loads and loads of people, many, many people who think that, oh, well, we're going to have to stop global warming. If we don't stop using carbon emissions and whatnot, we're going to, you know, we won't be able to grow crops anymore. And they go way off beaten track. That's Satan. Satan causes people to believe that. Well, we are assured that we can live immune to the control of the world and Satan in verse 19. Introducing 1 John 5:19, like he did introduced verse 18 with another we know phrase, John added that we believers in Christ have assurance that we are of God as to our spiritual origination in the new nature given us at salvation, and that the whole world system conversely lies in the power of kemai, that's the verb, the evil one, that is Satan. In other words, Satan is rocking it in his arms, trying to placate it. Well, while the whole world is helplessly vulnerable to Satan's ideological, theological, and spiritual influence, much like an infant that lies helpless in the arms of its mother and her control, the believer's new nature is utterly immune to such helpless vulnerability to Satan. So by utilizing the spiritual resources given him at regeneration, the believer lives above personal helpless vulnerability to Satan and the world. You know, this is amazing. You could actually, as a Christian, be in an area where wickedness is actually being practiced very openly, and you can actually be immune to that. Years ago, there were some graduates at Dallas Seminary, I think they were still seminary students, who went to a meeting that had been widely broadcast, that there was a lady who was going to be conducting a seance or something, going to be contacting spirits. And so these guys sat, there was a big auditorium, and they sat in the back of the auditorium, just three students. And the lady kept trying to contact the spirit, and then all of a sudden she says, there are some people present who are conflicting and keeping this from happening. So it was the three seminary students, and they were there just to observe. But because of the presence of the Spirit of God with them, it was blocking them. When my father taught a Sunday school class in an evangelical free church in Chico, California, there was a man who came to know the Lord who had been heavily involved in witchcraft. And he said, before I was saved, I'd walk down the street corner and the spirits would talk to me and they would point out the Christian walking on the other side of the street or coming at me, and they would warn me, stay away from that person. That person is very dangerous. And he said, the reason they would warn me is they didn't want me to be in contact with that man so that that man would tell me about Christ. But he said, now that I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I want to tell every Christian, look, you've got tremendous power over the evil world, the spirit world. All you have to do is rely on Christ and trust him. So don't be afraid of the evil spirits. There's nothing there. They're afraid of you. They're afraid of God and the Holy Spirit. So the whole world is helplessly vulnerable to Satan's ideology. But by utilizing spiritual resources given us at regeneration, we live above personal helpless vulnerability to Satan and the world. And then, verse 20, we believers are assured that we can discern that we are spiritually positioned in God who's true, which position also certifies that we have eternal life. The last we know phrase states that we believers know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that makes possible a knowledge of the true God and the understanding that we are positionally in the true God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God. And of course, that awareness also gives assurance that one has eternal life, which resides in the Lord Jesus. Now, based on these assurances, the assurance that we can live holy lives regardless of the world's depravity, the assurance that we can live immune to the control of the world and Satan, and the assurance that we are spiritually positioned in God is true and we also have eternal life, John has a closing statement. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. An idol is a substitute for God. Here's the picture. If a person is relying on a substitute for God, he's not going to experience victory over Satan. He's not going to experience victory over the world, even over his own sin nature. He's going to live in spiritual defeat. So John, after giving these assurances, he said, why look to the false God? Rely on the true God, and you have all this victory over Satan, the victory over the world, victory over sin in yourself. So based on these greatly edifying assurances, 1 John 5:21 calls us believers to avail ourselves of the blessings of those riches by keeping ourselves from false substitutes for the Lord, lest we suffer spiritual defeat in our walk. So by God's creation of the new nature in us, we can live a holy life regardless of the surrounding world's depravity and Satan. We live free of Satan's possession so that we can live above even Satan's influence and not be helplessly vulnerable to his false ideology, his work and power. We have an understanding of the true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and understand that we are in him and thus possess eternal life. Since these assurances are realized only if we relate properly to the Lord, may we keep ourselves from idols, that is, from substitutes for the true God. So may we apply the spiritual resources given to us in Christ by relying on the true God instead of relying on idols. I had something that happened today in Fellowship Hall. I've got to share with you because this has direct application here. I had conversations with a variety of different people, different believers and so forth. But there were a few of the conversations that I had. As I was getting into the conversations with the party, suddenly there was a subjective warning signal that the Lord provided. It's like, ooh, be careful, Don. Don't go there. Don't push that. You know, just stop. In fact, at one point, the implication was don't even try to interact because the evil one is apparently at work seeking to create a problem. And about any answer, any word that I would say could have been, you know. So I just clammed up. Now, there would have been a time when I would just sailed right on through and gotten into trouble. You know, it's where, like they say, even a fish wouldn't get caught if he kept his mouth shut. But the temptation was just to keep on going, but we didn't. And I'm so glad because at that point I realized something was going on in the spirit realm. And when I pulled back and just didn't pursue it, then the other parties involved, and this involved several conversations, some run one right after the other. And what could have turned into a conflict where the angelic conflict would have gotten involved stopped, just like that. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that the Lord actually gives us insight like that. If we rely on him, he actually shows us in the midst of, sometimes even in a conversation, that, hey, you're getting into trouble here, so be careful, back off, cool it. And when you do that, then everything is blessing. So I'm very grateful for the fact that, of course, the evil one always is trying to attack shiny brass targets. You know, what he would want to do is to create a problem in a church that preaches the word and where people love the word and love the Lord and love each other and so forth. And Satan would just love to, you know, stick the old wooden spoon in it and just stir it, you know, and get things going. But what we have to do, like Paul says, pray and watch. Watch for the movements of the evil one. And when you see them, be careful and slow down and rely on the Lord. So I'm grateful that God has given us the resources to have victory over Satan so that we can't let him get a foot in the door. And hopefully, as we continue to rely on the Lord, we'll pay attention to his signals so that we can continue to have victory over him.